By applying biblical principles, you can be successful in your parenting. And how you can help ensure the future of your children that they remain drug free. But there's one element that I have deliberately left out and saved for today. It is by far the most important, and without it, there will be no way you can carry on a lifelong sustained effort at parenting or anything else in life. I have shown you biblical principles. Today, I want you to understand that unless the God of the Bible gets involved in your life, then your parenting will never be what it could be. And as a person, you will never be the individual that you could be. You see, Jesus Christ brings another dynamic to our living. He is the author of life. He brings life to us. He brings us power. And He enables us with supernatural ability to be the parents that only He can make us. I want to share with you this morning four basic things that Christ brings to your life. This is by no means an exhaustive study on what He'll bring to your life. This is just four in thousands of things that He brings to your life. The first one is power. Christ brings power to your living. Parenting is probably, in my opinion, the most difficult thing in the world to do successfully. The most difficult. I have very rarely in my life, maybe never, met a family with small children and full grown, that when they were full grown, you could say they were successful. See, when I say successful, I just don't mean they make money. I mean they have tremendous moral character, tremendous integrity, and they have a love for God and a passion that burns for Him. I don't know that I've ever met a family like that. That is, apart from Christ. But you see, when Christ gets involved, He puts power in our life. And a power and ability to go the long haul. Parenting gets very tiring. Living gets very tiring. It's kind of like a car. A car will go from Chicago to New York, and it has a certain size engine. But if you want to fly from Chicago to New York, you need a bigger engine. You need an engine that's really powerful. But friends, if you're going to go from planet Earth into deep space, you need some extraordinary power. Extraordinary power to boost you beyond the natural elements of life that want to keep you down. You see, the same thing is true in living. Christ brings a power to our life that is supernatural, that is extraordinary, that is incredible, and it goes beyond normal living. He gives you the power to keep going when you feel like quitting. He gives you the ability to keep persevering when times get tough. He brings secret strength to your life. The last 14 years of my life have been an experience in the power of God. And the more I grow in my relationship with God, the more I've experienced God's enablement, His power for successful, confident living. Second thing that Christ brings to your life is forgiveness and hope. There's probably not a person in here today, particularly parents, who hasn't felt the pain of a mistake, of doing something wrong. In fact, maybe as I've gone on this series, you've thought to yourself, man, I have really blown it. Like a woman who came by me one Sunday after church, she was shaking my hand with tears in her eyes. This has happened on more than one occasion. She said, I only wished I could do it over again. I only wish I had my kids back. I know what it's like to make mistakes, let me tell you. I'm not a perfect parent. And there's been times I've had my face in my hands thinking, why did I say what I said? Why did I do what I did? The only thing that's kept me going is knowing that God forgives. We have a forgiving God, a merciful God. And when we come to Christ, He's willing to forgive us and wipe the slate clean for now and forever. Totally clean. The second thing that that does for you is it gives you hope to keep going. Nothing is more frustrating and discouraging than guilt. We can all relate to that. Nothing sucks the life out of a person more than guilt. And Christ removes that because He forgives us. And He gives us hope. And so that I know as a father, no matter what mistake I make, I can pick up with full steam right where I fell and get moving forward with confidence. Boy, I'll tell you, that's powerful living. That takes power to do that. The other thing that it does is it gives you an incredible relationship with your children. Moms and dads, I'll tell you something. Mercy doesn't come natural. Let me explain to you what real mercy is. The difference between mercy and pity. You may think, well, I've always been a merciful person. If you don't have Christ, you've never been a merciful person. Mercy is when someone deliberately walks up to you, smacks you in the face, with a smile on your face, you turn the other cheek. That's mercy. That is treating that individual in a way they do not deserve. And that's how God is with you and I. Now, if you're a parent, you know that we need to deal in a lot of mercy. We're going to be wronged, and we wrong our children. Forgiveness must be in the home. Don Henley has a new song. It's entitled, The Heart of the Matter. And he sings, I'm learning to get to the heart of the matter. It's forgiveness, forgiveness, even if you don't love me anymore. He's right, even though he doesn't understand the full truth of it. It's forgiveness. Christ brings that to your life. And He makes your home a place where forgiveness is. Where there aren't grudges and resentment. And I've seen this happen to parents as bitterness and resentment that go through life with a chip on their shoulder. Unforgiving. See, the only way you can truly forgive is to be forgiven. You cannot give what you have not experienced. When you experience it, you can give it. Christ brings that to your life. The third thing that Christ brings to your life is something I want to read to you out of the book of Galatians. Christ gives you His Spirit. He comes and lives right inside of you. Okay? He comes and lives right in you, right with you. And I want to read to you a description here in Galatians 5, first of all, of what we are like without Christ. What naked man, naked woman is like without God. The acts of man's nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, degrading behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, malice, discord, jealousy, fits of rage and anger, selfishness, strife, division, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will never inherit the kingdom of God. They will never know God. You see, that's what much of family life is like today. Division, strife, selfishness, hatred, malice, abuse, drunkenness, and the list goes on and on. And to one degree or another, one of those things affects our family living. Because that, my friends, is our nature. A dog barks because he's a dog. A fish swims because he's a fish. And man sins because he's a man. But let me give you the flip side of what happens when God gets in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. Now, if you're a parent, you know that probably the greatest commodity a parent needs is patience. An inexhaustible supply of patience. An inexhaustible supply of goodness, of self-control, of faithfulness to keep doing what needs to be done when you don't feel like doing it. That's what Christ brings to your life. And that's why Christ is the secret to being a totally awesome parent. Wouldn't it be neat if we could be loving, patient, peaceful, full of joy, happiness, kindness? That's what Christ brings to your life. When His Spirit comes and lives in you, He stays with you. He never leaves you. Those are His fruits, you see. Then and only then do we have the opportunity to reach our fullest potential in life. That is why Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it most abundantly. Because apart from Him, it's never abundant. It's only temporal and never satisfies. The other thing that Christ's Spirit does in your life is He helps you with your weaknesses. You see, I think we all realize in this room that as human beings, we're quite frail. We're quite fragile. We break pretty easy. Christ comes to our life and He gives us help, real help. He rescues us. He rescues us and helps us. The fourth thing that Christ brings to your life is infinite, unconditional love. You may think to yourself, well, Mark, I'm pretty loving. Are you really? You know the kind of love that we've experienced mostly on this planet, apart from God, is the love that says, I love you because you're attractive. I love you because you're such a good little boy. You're doing so good at school. I love you. What happens when they don't? What happens when they're a moron? What happens when they do stupid, foolish things? What happens in life? It's just a normal activity in life. Today, I don't love you anymore. I'm leaving. I want to go my own way in life. And we go. There's songs written about it all the time. Doesn't anybody ever stay together anymore? What happened to love? Love, my friends, comes from God. John tells us that everyone who is born of God loves, for love comes from God. He who is not born of God does not love. And he who does not love does not know God. You see, love comes from God, and God is the secret to love. And having Christ in your life, the Bible tells us that the love of Christ is shed abroad in your heart. He just puts it there. And now you have supernatural ability to keep loving. I was with a person the other day, and we were having lunch together, and they asked me, you know, I've had this asked to me before, where do you get this ability? Where do you get this wisdom? Where does someone so young get this wisdom? And how do you do what you do? And why do you care so much? I want to tell you something, lest any of you be deceived. There's nothing good about Mark Darling. There's absolutely nothing good about me. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'd be just another lowlife scum, bitter, resentful, unproductive, unloving individual. The only thing that happened to me, the only good that's in me, is Christ came to my life and He changed my life. And I find so much comfort knowing He loves me. He cares about me. And that gives me the capacity to continue to love others. When I know that He's forgiven me and He loves me, I can do that because He's in me. Because He's put that in me. That's where it comes from. He is the source. There's one passage that Jesus said that I keep in my mind every day. I've not forgotten it in 15 years. And I pray that I never forget it. It's this. Jesus was talking to His disciples one day and He said, men, apart from me, you can't do a thing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Mark, you can't parent. You can't pastor. You can't love. You can't do anything worthwhile, God-like, without me. Oh, I can brush my teeth. Oh, I can drive a car, but who needs God to do that? But in order to have an impact in people's lives, in order to raise a fantastic family, in order to have a fantastic marriage, in order to live a dynamic life, Mark, you need me. The flip side of that, the other passage I keep in mind every day, is that Jesus said, with me, all things are possible, and with me, you can do all things. I think about that every day. I can be a totally awesome parent. You can be a totally awesome parent because God's in, wants to live in you and lives in me. And He can make us fantastic. He gives us a supernatural ability to do what's right, to rise above the stress and strain of the world, the stress and strain of everyday life. I want to share with you this morning a true story that I think really exemplifies what I'm sharing with you today. About a year ago, a young woman started coming to church here. I met her the first Sunday we shared, the second Sunday I met her. And after about 4 or 5 Sundays, she came up to me and she said, could we get together and talk? Do you do counseling? I said, well, yes, I do. And could we talk? And I said, sure, we can talk. So she came over to my home. She said, well, she said, I have a lot of things I need to talk to you about. And I said, fine, you have as much time as you need. She said, well, I guess we'll just start from the beginning. She said, I'm one of 13 children. I was raised in a very alcoholic, very abusive family. And I suffered an awful lot of abuse from family members. And I couldn't wait as I was growing up. I just couldn't wait to leave home. I never wanted to bring my friends home because of the embarrassing things that happened to me and to them whenever they came. So I tried to stay away as much as I could. I couldn't wait till I was 16 and I could either quit school or do whatever and just get away. And later on in my teen years, I got involved in drugs real heavily. I got involved in alcohol real heavily. I just wanted to find someone who would love me, care about me, and get married and get away from my family. So I met who I thought was Mr. Right. Said he loved me. I thought I loved him. We got married. During the course of our marriage, basically the biggest thing that kept us together was drug use. Drugs and alcohol. We partied all the time. We had 2 children. But early on, our marriage became pretty rocky, and pretty soon his girlfriends had come to the door asking for him. Finally got to the point he was being very abusive with our children at the time, and eventually with me, until one time he tried to kill me. So I left. I fled. And all this, I did not know she was a parent. She'd always come alone. She said, I wanted so desperately when I was younger for God to have a relationship with God or to know God, forgive me, but how could he accept me for what I've done? She said, so finally, she said, I moved here to the Twin Cities to try and get a new start in life and moved here with my sons. I got a job, but I was a very out-of-control person. And the more time went on, the more my kids grew, the more out of control I got, the more out of control they got. I didn't know how to parent. I didn't know the first thing to do. It seemed like all I ever did was yell. I didn't know how to manage them. The daycares would call me, and I'd have to come and get them. And finally, my job, my employer couldn't take anymore, and they fired me. They let me go, and I didn't have a job anymore. I lost their apartment. I was sleeping in the car. Finally came to the point in my life that I almost had a nervous breakdown. And I just said, I can't handle this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. I am not the best for them. I cannot be their parent. I cannot do this. So she said, I came to the point that I had to make a decision to give them up for adoption. By now, they were fairly old. And she was crying pretty heavily, and Well, I'll tell you, I was just heartbroken. She said, you know, everyone I've ever told, I said, to be honest, I was real scared to come over here because everyone I've ever told this, as soon as they find out, they're not my friend anymore. Because they think I'm such a miserable, rotten person. I told her, I said, I just think it's remarkable that you're still alive. And I just want you to know, I care about you. My wife and I will do whatever we can to help you, and God cares about you. And so I just began to share with her, just briefly, that Christ loved her and Christ cared about her, and she could be forgiven and know Him. Well, she left that day, and we kept up contact pretty regularly, and she got involved in the group we call Renew. It's a support group I have for people who've been through difficult circumstances in life, rebuilds their self-esteem, gives them confidence for living, shows them how they can live a dynamic life. She started coming, and never have I seen anyone in my life attack anything with so much vigor. Instead of listening to the tapes the regular amount of time, she'd do it about 3 or 4 times. Every day she listened, she'd be calling me. And little by little, something started to change until about 2 months after that. She was at a meeting one evening I was speaking at, and I was talking about coming to know Christ and how you could be forgiven. I knew she wanted it real bad because she told me when I was little, she said, when I was real little, I used to go up to my room. I wanted to be a nun. And I used to light a candle and pretend I was in church, but I'd always end up knocking the candle down and ripping off my hat because I knew God would never want me. So she went home that night, and she said, I wept for 2.5 hours and realized for the first time in my life that God wanted me. That God wanted to come into my life and He'd forgive me. I want to tell you, from that very moment on, her life began to change. Little by little, day by day, until I remember we got to the section on forgiveness and forgiving others for the past instead of blaming others, forgiving others. I remember when she told me, you know, I wrote one of my family members, one in particular was very abusive, and I forgave him. She showed me the letter she got back from him. We wept together. And I knew in the back of my mind, see, she didn't know this, but I was praying all along, Lord, she's the best mother for her kids. And I pray she realized that. You'd strengthen, stabilize her life because I know that she could do this. But I knew I couldn't tell her that at this particular time. So I just waited patiently, kept praying for her, kept praying for her, kept working with her. One day she said, Mark, she said, this is a very detailed situation and I'm not giving you all the details. She said, I want my sons. They'd not been given up for permanent adoption, just temporary. She said, I want them back. I believe I can do it. I can do it. You're right. I am the best parent for them. And God has changed my life and I can do it. Very difficult on your own when you don't make a lot of money to take over raising 2 teenage boys. She said, but I can do it. So I went to court with her and we went through all the things that needed to be done. And I can just tell you miracle after miracle that happened that God did. About the 4 raises in 1 year that she got. And just recently, right when she needed it, she got it. Just to provide for her sons. Well, they've been back together now for about 4 or 5 months. During that time, during the last year, both of her sons have come to know Christ. And their life is turned around. And it is so exciting to watch what Christ can do when He gets into a human being. And that human being commits their life to Him and obeys Him. There's nothing God can't do. And I'm just so proud of them. So proud of what God has done in their lives. I want you to know you can have that in your life. Oh, your situation may not seem nearly as drastic. You may think, I'm doing pretty good. But you know, you could be so much greater. You could go so much farther with Christ. All that I've talked about in the last 5 weeks, I have to be honest with you, will be impossible to do without God's power. They'll be impossible to do without the living Christ in your life. You can have Christ in your life today. Today. You see, Jesus said, whoever calls on me will be saved. I'll rescue you. I'll get involved with you if you just ask. That's the point. You just ask. You just simply say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want you to come in my life and do what you've done in others. I want you to take control in my life. I want to experience you in my life. Please come into my life. And you know, just like that, He will do that. Just like that, 15 years ago, He did that in my life. There's some in this room been known the Lord for 30 years of their life. He'll get involved. And as you obey Him, you will experience a life that until now you didn't even dream could happen. Just like what happened with Eric. He never dreamed anything like this be happening to him today. Because God makes dreams come true when you let Christ in your life. I want to encourage you today to do this. You can do it this morning when I close in prayer. You can do this afternoon. You can do this tonight. But I just simply want to encourage you, do it. Do it. There's no reason to wait. We've gone step by step and you've learned the significance of God, biblical principles that will change your family. And now, it's just that last ingredient, that last little step, and that's letting the God of the Bible, Christ, into your life. Let's just bow our heads and close in prayer and